I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with your hosts, Captain Mickey Eastman and Captain Benny Hatton, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years. Captain Benny is a licensed Coast Guard captain. Now, here they are together, your hosts, Captain Mickey and Captain Benny.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on the Saturday morning, 19th of January. A little weathery out there this morning with the front passing through with a pretty good heavy rain on the front line. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Our producer this morning.
Hey, everyone. This is John Boudreaux.
What's up, Boudreaux?
Catching the rain early, that's what woke me up about, 20 minutes before my alarm.
It didn't hit me till I got on 45. Boy, it walloped me.
It hit me on.
What is the deal with people got to turn their emergency flashers on when it starts?
I have
raining?
No idea.
I haven't seen that coming down 59.
I had 20 cars around me with their emergency flashers on. I'm going, are you kidding
are
me?
You, well, the thing is that gets on my nerves when I see that. If you're in an actual emergency, yes, put them on.
Well, yeah, if you're pulled over on the side of the road and wrecked or something.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're not
driving
in an emergency,
down a highway,
are you telling everyone that you're in a state of panic, so stay away from me because it's raining?
I went by one guy, looked over, and his cell phone lighting his face up. He's got his emergency flashers on and driving in the hard-driven rain you couldn't even see, and he was on his cell phone texting.
That was pretty stiff rain this morning.
Yeah.
And then they slowed down about 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, it was raining so hard. It was just sheets of water on the freeways.
Yeah.
I mean, it just... and you got these jokers that run around with these slick tires with no tread on them, and they're sliding all over the place. Hydroplane when there's ponding water. You got to have good tires, man. Oh, well. Well, welcome to the show, folks. It's Saturday morning. A lot going on today.
Yeah, huh?
I got a front coming through, and people are going to be fishing in this stuff. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, Mainstream Marketing, Texan Roofing, and Skeeter's Auto Service. Right now in Galveston, 65 at Frontline's just clearing the coast down there. The winds have swung around now to west-northwest. It's still real light. The real winds aren't going to kick in until a little bit later. But anyway, they're throwing a 60% chance of thunderstorms in this morning, and the morning high will be 63, which it is, right about now. But those temps will be falling to near 50, and winds will be switching to the northwest at 25 to 35 miles per hour with gusts to 40 plus.
Mm-mm.
And then tonight, clear wind, low of 38. That's down on the island now. It's going to be 38 on the coast. Winds will be north-northwest at 25 to 35 miles per hour. It's good drifting wind right there.
Yeah, don't even have to put up your sail, huh?
Just a good drifting wind.
Mm. And forecast for Galveston Bay. There is a small craft advisory in effect from 9 a.m. this morning through this afternoon. Low water advisory in effect from 6 p.m. this evening to 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. For today, northwest winds 20 to 25 knots. Bay water's rough. Slight chance of showers early in the morning. Then Sunday, north winds 15 to 20 knots, decreasing to 5 to 10 in the afternoon. Bay water's choppy, becoming smooth in the afternoon. Offshore from high island, the Matagorda Ship Channel out 60 nautical miles. Today, northwest winds 25 to 30 knots, seas 6 to 8 feet with occasional seas up to 10 feet, building to 7 to 10 feet with occasional seas up to 13 in the afternoon. Chance for showers early in the morning. Sunday, north winds 15 to 25 knots, decreasing to 10 to 15 in the afternoon, seas 4 to 6 with occasional seas up to 7, subsiding to 2 to 3s in the afternoon. And currently at the buoy, 22 nautical miles east of the Galveston jetties, we have a south-southwest wind at 12, gusting to 14. Barometric pressure is 29.77, air temp 64 degrees, water temp 59 degrees, and wave height is 3.6 every 5 seconds.
Boy, barometer dropped a lot from yesterday morning to this morning. It was like 30.16 yesterday and 29.77. That's a pretty good drop.
Pretty good drop.
No one of my knees were throbbing all night. Golly, my knees, man. I hate it when fronts come right before they hit. Golly, it hurts. All right, tides for today. We're on a three-tide schedule. The tide is extremely high this morning with those pumping south winds all night, all afternoon and all night. But our low tide at the Galveston Channel is at 8:15 a.m. It's a negative 1.0. And then we have a high at 4:43 p.m. this evening, a 1.2, which I don't think it's going to come in much against that 25 to 35 mile per hour northwest wind. A low tonight at 9:07 p.m. It's an 0.9. Sunrise this morning, 7:14 a.m. Sunset this evening, 5:46 p.m. And our moon phase is 91% right now. Eagle Point, southwest at 21, gusting to 28. And Morgan's Point is south-southwest at 13, gusting to 22. And that radar line, you can look at it, and it's cleared Houston. The red line has. We've still got some light rain in behind it with some yellow in it. But in the most part, that line's right even with Lake Jackson all the way through Texas City, and it hadn't quite got to the island of Galveston yet, but it's headed that way. It's over Trinity Bay right now as we speak. Actually, Umbrella Point, I'm going to rename that to Marsh Point because I still can't walk in my yard, and I'm really not going to be able to now after this
Marsh
rain
Point,
event. Huh? Yeah, just name it Marsh Point instead of Umbrella Point. It's quite wet out there, and, you know, Sam Rayburn, depending on how much rain they got up in East Texas with this, it could reach record levels. And it's real close to that right now. Let's go over to Sabine Lake and talk to Captain Bill Watkins, shall we? Hello, Bill. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm sitting here looking out the window watching it, watching the storm come in.
Yep, it's headed your way, buddy.
It's already raining and lightning, and the wind's twisting the trees. Don't go out on the water today.
Oh, there's not a bunch. There's a tournament over here.
They're going to be out there, I guarantee
they're
you.
They're going to be out there trout fishing. Spectacular tournament.
Hey, man. I think even BASS would call today, or at least do something. This is
this tournament this never calls.
It's flat-out dangerous out there, man. Oh, well. It just depends on how bad you want it. Somebody will catch fish.
Yeah, somebody will catch them.
Yep.
Somebody will catch something.
Down the island or something. God.
But that water ought to be really nice and messed up after south at 25 to 30 all afternoon and last night, and then it's going to switch northwest at 25 to 35. So go get you some of that.
When's the front line supposed to come through in the wind change?
Right after this rain, it's already gone northwest and southwest everywhere, so it's swinging around pretty quick.
Yeah, like you say, get you some of that.
Yeah, about launch time, it ought to be 25 to 35.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I've been out and stuff like that, so whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't care to do it anymore. I think I was crazy on some of those tournaments. Totally crazy. And
We've all done it.
Yeah. Yeah, Lake Palestine was one of the worst. And second worst.
I remember that story you told me about Lake Palestine, man.
Oh, my God. That was bad. Yep. Yeah, we didn't even have enough clothes for that tournament. Oh, wow. Boy, everyone was bright. Did you see that lightning?
I saw plenty of it driving in. It was blinding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we'll be through fishing for a couple, 3 days here.
I would imagine.
Coming right behind this one. So, but it's supposed to actually get back up to 69. I want to say
Tuesday.
Monday. Yeah. That's amazing. But I'm worried about Sam Reverend, like you said, that it's just inches from record level. They hadn't had a chance to get any of it out of there, I guess. So that's why it's a flood control reservoir. But it's still scary anyway.
Yeah, it is.
I just, the Sabine River's dropping. We just, I could just get back into my deer stand. And I can't even shut everything down. I normally pull my feeders out of the woods this time of year, let the deer fend for themselves.
Yeah.
And I can't even get to them. Don't know when I'll be able to get to them. There's one I could put on my waders and go get the feeder. But the other two, there's no hope of getting there for a while. And this rain like this, it'll put it back up a couple inches again. It's been a strange fall. Absolutely.
It really has.
One of the worst I've seen. Not the worst. Well, I don't know. It's hitting there pretty close for a fall. I remember one year we opened rifle season for deer at the river. Was it like almost 36 or 37 feet at Bonware? And we were standing in water in our knee boots in the camp yard. And we actually hunted, believe it or not. Had to hunt in waders and walk. Now, this was when I was a little bit younger. I mean, I could still walk a long way back then, but you imagine walking a mile in water and up on hills and down in the water again with waders and then climbing up in a deer stand.
I know, without falling down.
Oh, good.
Carrying great. All your stuff.
The poor deer, it was like shooting deer inside a fence. I mean, they didn't have anywhere to go. They were just roaming around on top of the tall hills. And once you figured out where they were.
That's why we used to kill all them hogs in the marsh like that. They'd all be standing on a high spot, and you just pull the boat up and go to work on them, man.
Yeah.
Little eradication.
Yeah, birth control. You kill them before they're ever born. You still can't keep up with them, though, man.
No, goodness. You will never. It's just like trying to wipe out the ants and the roaches on the planet. You will not be able to eradicate the hogs.
Yeah, if we can't get rid of fire ants, what do we think we're going to do with hogs?
Yeah, that's true. That is so true.
Seem like they're getting thicker every year where we're at. They're still eating my corn right now. I might have to go shoot another one in self-defense.
Well,
I could use some more sausage. Wouldn't hurt me.
Man, you a meat hauler over there, buddy. You've been scraping hogs all winter, and boy, you stocking up. We got an apocalypse coming or something that I need to know about? Hell, I know where I need to go if it all does go bad.
Yeah, it'll take us at least 3 days to clean my freezer out.
Hey, I'll bring bullets and you supply the meat. Hang on, Bill. Let me do a commercial break. I'll be right back with you. Good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
And there's two or three places like that.
I mean, become normal fishing for me then. I'm a struggler. The struggle is real. I struggle all day.
The struggle's real over
there?
That's
it, man. I struggle all day.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey and Captain Benny. We'll tell you where to go and what to throw.
I remember a buddy of mine tied our surfboards down on my GTO when I was going through the Baytown LaPorte tunnel headed to Galveston, and they blew off in the tunnel.
Oh, no.
I didn't even go back. It was all a bloody mess back then.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm just glad that surfboard didn't go through somebody's grill.
Boy, yeah.
Just went on to Galveston and went to the surfboard shop.
They hunting and fishing all the time. If it ain't working, beats all I've ever seen. And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow
If you wanna hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on the stormy morning in the Bayou City. A little nasty out there. It's passing through H-Town and slamming the coast now. And everybody hurry up and run outside and wrap all your pipes and get your dogs in and all that. The blizzard is on its way.
I bet it don't get as cold as they said it's going to get.
No. It sounds good, though.
It does, yeah. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stock up on your survival food and batteries and bread and water.
Bring in the firewood.
That's it, man. Chop a little more wood.
Yeah.
All right, let's get with Bill now. All right, Bill, we're back, buddy.
I got the firewood in.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
How many cords you got piled up?
Pretty good bit. I use wood heater, so it's got fire brick lining. Doesn't take a lot of wood to heat the house. Makes it pretty nice. Just
I know any kind of heat except for central heat. If I'm sleeping and my heater cuts on, that's it for the night. I can't sleep. It dries my nasal passages. I hate that stuff.
That's what you call painted fire.
Oh, man.
Real fire. I'd much rather have that wood heater going.
Oh yeah, it's. We
could get a little chilly on the opposite side of the house, but it's not that bad. I just kick on the electric blanket and let that thing cook. And there's no wind coming out of that either. That central air, I know what you're talking about. If it's blowing all the time, it bothers me.
Or central heat, yeah, central heat.
Yeah.
Air I can deal with, but the central heat, man, it dries my sinuses out. It reminds me of when we used to go to Colorado skiing, and, buddy, you talk about drying your sinuses out up in the mountains up there in that dry, you know, you're used to humidity, and you get up there, and, I mean, you know, you blow your nose and it bleeds. It takes you a while to get used to that altitude.
A lot of folks up there put a kettle of water on the wood heater.
Humidify everything. You bet.
And it really makes a difference. But I've stayed with folks up there, and they were constantly changing that thing. Whenever it'd dry out, they'd pour some more water in it and go at it again. And it really made a difference, really helped. That's some tough country up there. You know, my hat's off to those that can live through a winter up there.
Well, they get used to it, and it, you know, they get acclimated to it.
I guess you would.
You would. You stay 2 or 3 weeks, you know, you get acclimated to it, but if you just stay about a week, it's tough on you.
Yeah, that's true. But they have some pretty tough weather. It's not all a piece of cake up there. And then they think, wow, boy, y'all have hurricanes down there. That's bad. Yeah, and floods and everything else.
I'll take a hurricane over a blizzard any day.
I don't ever want to see another hurricane, but I know it's coming. I know I've got to, but it's been pretty rough around this part of the world. We've been hit pretty hard in the last, you know, 15 years. I sure would like to get away from that. But I'm stuck here. This is where I grew roots, and I guess I can't get away from it.
Poor man's got poor ways. You just got to live with what you got, man.
Ben and Barrett, I can't go jet off to the Bahamas.
No.
Or France or anywhere else. So I'm stuck.
Well, make the best. Not a bad place to be stuck in the state of Texas.
Yeah, it's a better state to be stuck in than most.
You got it. It's like our own country here, man. Nothing beats Texas, believe me.
Yep. I love our diversity and all the stuff we got here. It's a great state.
It is.
I probably wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, it's just once you've had the best, it's hard to deal with the rest.
Agreed.
We got everything that we enjoy in life.
Yeah, just pull on your hip boots and go at it.
That's it. Work
Speaking
through it.
Of hip boots.
Speaking of what? Hip boots? What?
Yeah, speaking of hip boots, I probably have to have them walk in the yard today.
Well, I'm anxious to see how much rain that Lufkin area and all above that watershed above them got, to see how much Rayburn's going to come up more. It was still rising a couple of inches a day, and it was up, what did Will say it was yesterday? 174.88 or something like that, and I think the record's 175.10, so it's just a few inches away from breaking the record.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how it can keep from breaking the record.
Well, when it gets to 176, it will go over the emergency spillway.
Yeah. You know, I've never have figured out where that thing kicks out at. Where does it divert to?
I don't know, man. You got me. That's.
I know one thing. Sooner or later, it's coming down the Neches River. That part of it, I do know.
Well, it's coming right now. I mean, it's been coming. It's been hitting all year long.
Now, it's dropped some in the last two or three days. It has fallen down a couple of feet. But it wouldn't take too much to run it on back up. So I'm wary about it.
Yeah.
This wet pattern we're in right now is...
Well, we're all shell-shocked and gun-shy, you know, with all this rain stuff.
Yeah.
I've been for 4 years, man.
2 years ago, I couldn't have told you what the river level would be at Evadale above my house. I was not paying any attention to that. I never thought about when it would be a dangerous level or whatever, but I know now that it's 25.2 feet. It's going to be right out in front of my house.
25.2, that's the magic number?
The magic number. It'll be right out there in front of the mirror. And my house is at 26 and a half feet. So that, you know, Harvey made me set up and take notice about every inch of water around here. I lived here 35 years and never thought about it.
Well, you know, and on the Trinity River watershed at Moss Hill and Liberty, and... just 2018 alone had five river rises that made the top 10 of all time. Just in 2018 alone.
Good grief.
How about that?
That's amazing. And, you know, here we are going into the actual rainy season.
Yeah.
We went through the whole fall. And that seemed like the rainy season. It's been raining ever since 1st September. And on and on. And both the big reservoirs here were down, you know, 4 or 5 foot low. Toledo was down about 2 foot. And all of that was overcome. And it only took 4 months of heavy rains for it to get dangerous.
Have you heard anything about any scoping meetings from Texas Parks and Wildlife? You know, this time of year that we should be getting some kind of emails or information on it. You know, I was asking Bink the other day, and he hadn't received anything on it either. So,
I've been lax on checking my email here lately, but my wife will catch it and she'll let me know if anything like that's on there.
Mm-hmm.
So. Need to handle, but no, I've not. I get stuff from Texas Parks and Wildlife pretty often.
Right.
Haven't seen anything about scoping meetings.
Well, they were supposed to have them this spring, and this is usually the time of year they start, you know, late January and February. You know, getting word out that they're fixing to throw them up and down the coast on this. Well, it'll be up our way, the upper coast, this time over these trout limits.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they're really going to follow up on that.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. To me now, it really doesn't matter. The damage has been done. I mean, it should have been. They should have taken emergency action on this 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, they should have. And but I'm not real sure that.
I think our recruitment's too good. We got too many little baby fish.
Yeah.
Won't even bother with it. But what they don't realize with
that they did that
with all this fresh water, we're in the same scenario we've been in the last 4 years, and all these little juveniles, once they reach 15 inches, they become harvestable up here, you know, over this way. And when they get all stacked up and piled up, they'll just be massacred again, just like before. And we're back to square one again.
Well, what if there's not enough of them to be massacred?
Well,
what happens?
There's a bunch of them going to have to grow up a lot before summer season kicks in.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they're getting well fed. I know the ones I've caught so far have been healthy.
These fish aren't missing any meals. And another good thing, the freshwater saving a lot of fish too, you know. That's we'll just wait and see. At this point, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going fishing if whether I catch them or not. I'm going. As soon as the weather and the water gets right up here.
The weather was so crazy last summer, starting in June, mid-June. It got hard to catch trout because of that southwest wind, and it was just everything was off.
Oh yeah,
we didn't kind of summer we normally do, you know. Didn't have a lot of pretty green water.
Well, and plus the water salted up, and you know, over this way, and it spread all those fish out, and they weren't conglomerated, it made it tough on everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Once you found them, and you know they'd pretty much stay in the same place, and you had a little school to yourself, you could catch them every day. But if you just went looking and hoping to find something, it wasn't happening, Captain.
As a result of that, the fishing pressure just fell off. The only real stiff fishing pressure we had this fall was the flounder people, and nothing slows them down.
Boy, that was a disappointment too. Flounder run was way off this year from Venice, Louisiana, all the way up and down this coast here. The numbers were down.
Yeah.
All right, Bill. I got to bow out. I got to head out. But, hey, if somebody wants to come over and fish with you at Sabine, how do they get a hold of you, my friend?
409-786-2018.
Or fishsabinelake.com.
Yep. Calendar's beginning to fill slowly.
Good. That's good.
Y'all have a good one,
all
man.
All right, buddy. See you, Bill. All right. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Boy, you dug that one out of the archives.
Man, this is what I grew up listening to with my grandparents.
Glenn Campbell. G-Town. All right, let's go up to Conroe Town. Let's see what's going on with Richard. See if he's up there. I don't know. He was taking selfies with bass yesterday. Richard, what's going on, man?
Not a lot, Mickey, not a lot, but you ain't kidding. He did dig that one up, and then he's sitting there telling you, yeah, I used to listen to it at my grandparents. No, my foot.
He's not old enough. Glenn Campbell was almost in the grave before he was born.
My goodness. Ain't that something? I remember when he'd come out singing all that. I was thinking, dang, that's some good music there.
I tolerated it. It wasn't the music I was listening to back in the day.
Tell you right now, my mother used to listen to Charlie Pride every morning. Every morning when
Kiss
she was
an angel good morning.
Yeah, I remember
every
hearing all that.
Morning.
Just like I said, that wasn't the music I was rolling with back in those days, I can tell you that.
I hear you. But anyway.
And the music I was listening to is still the best of all time. Still to this day, these young kids go, man, that was some awesome music.
That piano?
Piano, yeah, Lawrence Welk. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
Lawrence Welk and the Bubbly Hour. I remember that one.
Yeah, I remember having to suffer through all that with my grandmother. And
you
my
ain't
mom
kidding.
Watching
good
that.
Night. That was horrible.
I'm going to change the channel. All we got is one TV in the house. What would these kids do nowadays? They had to sit with their parents and watch some of that old school stuff.
Well, just remember who the remote was.
We didn't have a remote. They'd send the youngest one up there to change the channel.
That's it. That's the way it was. The youngest one was the remote. You got to sit by the knob and turn through three channels.
I remember when color TV came out, we went nuts over that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now you're talking old school, but that's, I don't even remember that long ago, but I'm quite sure they didn't have
I remember. I remember the radios you'd listen to, Amos and Andy and all those shows. My grandpa used to listen to them. My grandparents didn't even have a TV. And he had
my goodness.
The radio was a big old piece of wooden furniture rounded off. Just like, it was like a staple piece of furniture in the house, and had the, had the old tubes in the back that had to warm up when he'd turn it on, and he'd tune into his favorite station so he could listen to all of, you know, Amos and Andy and all the shows that came on. We'd have to sit in the living room.
I remember Daddy replacing them tubes.
Yeah. You'd go run down to a Jones 7-Eleven with a tube, and they had a tube tester. You'd stick it in there, even for the TVs, and test it. Well, if it was bad, they'd sell you a new one. You'd go plug it back into your radio or TV.
That's exactly right. Well, I remember all that stuff, and that is like, dang, another tube. You go,
all right, well, and, I've had enough of this. How about fishing? Where are you catching them big bass at, man? And don't lie
them
to me.
Them rascals are not. I ain't lying
to you. Don't lie to me.
You know better than that. I would never
do that. No, I'm just teasing you.
I know, but them rascals, you know, I've been talking about them for, you know, for a couple of months now. I've been catching them out there in that deep water on them spoons, you know, telling everybody to hit them in the head.
Oh, you're in Conroe? I thought you were on Rayburn pre-fishing.
Well, see, the thing is, they shut that tournament down. They closed public down there, so that's where they were going to do their takeoff and stuff. And so they closed everything down, and they rescheduled that tournament. Well, when you reschedule something like this, I can't do it, so I had to pull out. But it's, you know, they got it rescheduled for February, but I can't do that.
You're not going to be able to make it, huh?
No, I mean, everything pretty much has to be on the schedule with me on stuff like that. And if it changes, I can't do it. So it's, you know, I got a lot of fun time fishing over there, but I'm catching them on Conroe.
Good.
They're just hanging out. I mean, I ran into a water the day before yesterday, Mickey. And I knew better. I knew I shouldn't have pulled off of them, but dang, I just, number one, I didn't want too many people to see me sitting on them, because, I mean, they were, that one of them was 659, one was 609, and I had eight of those things.
Boy, how would you like to start out the day with five of those in your live well, man?
I'm telling you, but they were getting bigger. That's the thing. I had eight of them that I got in the boat, and I just threw those two in. I said, these two are pretty close to the same. And then everything was about the same, and I lost three or four more of them. And I could have sat there and kept on catching them because they were coming to me. I mean, I could see them on the depth finder. They're just coming up there. I'm sitting in 20-foot of water just jigging a spoon, and they're coming up to this little ledge I was fishing. And I went over yesterday, and they weren't there. So I don't know if it was a sunlight or a lighter day type thing, because yesterday it stayed foggy. And, you know, I still caught quite a few of them, but I didn't catch any of those big ones. And they weren't on the same spot. So, you know, I did a lot more looking yesterday, and I still catch some decent ones. And like I say, out there in that deep water, and I mentioned this before a few weeks ago, you know, back in the 80s, fishing a tournament over there, we had a 10-8, and we got second place with that, got beat out by 12-48. Now, these are one fish, and it was a five-fish tournament. We got first and second with a 12-48. These guys beat us with that caught it in 2 foot of water. We had a 10-08 or a 10-80 that we caught out of 26 foot of water. And it kind of tells you I can find these fish deep, and somebody else can find the whole wad of them up shallow too. So it's just that time of year. They're bunching up. And when they're bunching up, you got giant ones bunching up together. And there's I should have sat there the other day. I kicked myself in the foot every day now, because it's twice I've done that in the past year. I'll pull up on a school of fish like that, sitting there catching 8-pounders, 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 and I say, dang, I don't want to wear them out. I just want to leave. And I come back to them, and they're gone. That just kills me. I keep thinking ahead, thinking, I'd like to catch some more of them later, but it's just places I think they're running bait to and feeding up on. So it's, you just kind of get lucky and get on them, you know. But it was one of those rusty and dusty type stringer things, I think, if I could have sat there on them. So if I would have done it, you know, and that's what, that was 43 pounds. So I think I could have beat that. There were some good ones moving in there. I'll tell you what, it's something else. But, you know, it's fun to get out there and do it like that, especially on a spoon with me, because I love that chicken spoon fishing. You know, it's taking, it's just a chunk of lead with a hook on it.
Man, you ought to see this rig that Will had in here the morning he came in and sat with me during the boat show. He came in and sat with me and Benny, and it's like a regular teardrop bottom weight, you know, with the eye and the swivel on it, like you put, you know, rig bottom leaders to fish with on bottom, you know, saltwater fishing.
Right.
And it it fits right under the worm, wacky style, and it's rigged up where it won't hang up and brush, and you can drop those down in a brush pile. Billy Murray designed that and made it. And you talk about cool. Oh, yeah. And, man.
Well, Billy knows what he's doing.
And you can drop those down right in those brush piles or along the edges of them, and I guarantee you'll get your elbows ripped out of socket with a wacky worm on that and those deep water brush piles like that. I can't wait to go up and fish with Will and try that. That's going to be awesome.
I'm telling you, that ought to be a neat little setup, you know. And my biggest issue with stuff like that is I can't make myself fish that slow unless I absolutely have to.
Well, you don't have to fish it that slow. I mean, you can bounce it, you know, drop it down and bring it up.
I done got to where I fish too fast.
There's no way. If I was a big old 8 or 10 pound bass laying in all that brush and that drop down in there with me, I'm sucking it in. I'm sorry. I would not be able to pass that up.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, when I was over there at Rayburn, 3 or 4 years ago, I was practicing for some of those other tournaments I was fishing, and there was no hydrilla and stuff, so I was having to fish brush piles. Well, I was dropping jigging spoons in those brush piles and catching 8 pounders out of it. That little rig, like you're talking about, if I'd had that thing, I'd have been dropping it in there. Because the fish I had, that's the way I had to fish, was in the brush piles and that deep stuff. So I had to slow fish, which, like I say, I don't like doing. I'll do it, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
And, but that rig there, shoot you, I guarantee you, I bet I could have got a whole lot more of those 8 pounders out of those things. Because, you know, jigging spoon, you're bouncing a chunk of lead through there with a treble hook on it. It's gonna hang up.
Yeah.
It's gonna do this. It just does.
Well, that's why I thought of, you know, what you're doing and what this rig would probably do for you. Man,
you gonna have to get a picture of that thing and send it.
Yeah,
to
I'll get some of those.
I'll be looking that up too, because that's them Murray twins, they know what they're doing.
Hey, the rate I'm going back at Trinity, I better start setting some brush piles out back there. I may have something going back there.
We'll be running jug lines and brush piles.
Hey, we'll be running jug line trips and brush pile fishing back at Trinity Bay, baby.
You could do that, too. I guarantee there ought to be plenty of dang old catfish in there.
Oh, catfishing's off the chart back there right now.
I bet it is. Good night.
I guess I'm going to have to be a cat man. Give me a little cat.
Yeah. One of these days, I'll quit pumping all that fresh water to you.
Yeah. Hey, when it all goes good, you won't hear from me for a while, because I'm going to fish. It's like I was telling all my buddies, I just hope I can wade fish Jack's pocket one more time before I die, and it'd be right. It was.
There you go. See, it's like me. I done got my focus where I just want to do nothing but fish every single day now. Then got my dang daughter moved off up there to Fort. That's after that boat show, that's what we did. Left out at midnight and took off, dropped her off up there, and good night. That's a long haul to North Carolina.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Well, man, sorry you lost your daughter, but maybe he'll be good to her.
If he don't,
I know who'll go get her.
I guarantee you do. There ain't no doubt. It'll be quick, fast, and in a hurry, too.
I heard that, and I may even have to ride with you on that one.
There you go. Well, I mean, she's a staple at the dang boat show so much. Everybody knows her, so just one of them things, good night. But it's all good. So.
All right, man. Well, are you going to go out and fish in that 35 to 40 mile an hour wind today?
No, I'm sitting here watching it right now, and I've already been seeing gusts up to 25. So
yeah, well, they're saying 25 to 35 with gusts to 40. So, All right, Richard, I got to go to Matagorda next, man. Put your number out there. Somebody wants to give you a call and do a little jigging.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, my friend.
Y'all have fun.
Hey, Richard, you too. Have a good weekend. See you,
Richard.
See you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right,
take care, Benny.
All right. Let's go to Matagorda. Did you get him? All right, let's go. Charlie P, what's up, my friend?
Resting up.
I bet you are. I can't believe you're not going to go get you some of that today.
No, I've been out there the past 3 days and time to rest up.
Can't blame you.
Yes, sir. It's the same old stuff, Mickey. It's been good. I've watched the weather go from, Wednesday, hardy, east winds and rain to the next day, west winds and no sunshine. And then yesterday was right back out of the southeast. And it's been good all 3 days. I know.
It rained. Y'all got a lot of rain yesterday, didn't you? Yesterday afternoon?
Yes, we did.
Boy, did you fish in that? Boy, I heard there was some bad lightning over there because I had a friend that tried to go over there to fish yesterday afternoon. He got about a 15-minute wait in. They had to run for cover, man.
That stuff settled in about 12:30, but it drizzled on us. It started drizzling on us about 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And there hadn't been anybody fishing all week, but yesterday they came out of the woodwork.
That's what he said. He said he couldn't believe all the boats over there. So they were everywhere. Well, you got a tournament today that's out of Galveston, but I'm pretty sure anybody that's got any sense will be fishing over there instead of here.
Yeah. I've been –
It's a Galveston tournament, Galveston weigh-in, but you can fish Sabine, Galveston, or Matagorda.
Yeah, I've seen most of those boys over here were around here yesterday, and all the bigger fish were caught wading yesterday.
Yeah.
We must have caught 60 or 70 trout yesterday, and they've gotten smaller. You know, there's a lot of 16, 17-inch fish.
Got some eaters. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think our best yesterday was about 25 inches. But most of them are, 16, 17, 18, 19-inch fish.
That's something how them fish flip-flop like that. You'll pull this front now, and all those shoreline fish and bigger fish are going to roll out there in the middle. And they'll hang out there until the barometer drops and then the flats warm back up, and then they'll go right back shallow again. I like that. That's that winter pattern, man.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the redfish. Wednesday they just wore us out.
Yeah.
And then the past 2 days, you catch two or three or four or five or six and that's it.
Right.
Which is fine. But I had one of your listeners yesterday, and it's probably the most fish he's ever caught in his life, and when I saw that southeast wind, I knew right where I wanted to go. And everybody else went to where they caught them last weekend, and they didn't get them. And we couldn't stay out of them. And they're starting to get particular on colors. Pumpkin seed with the green tail was what worked best.
Uh-oh. Pumpkin seed.
Pumpkin seed. Look out now. And it didn't make any difference whether it was a paddle tail or a straight tail, where the day before you had to have a paddle tail on, and lighter the lead head, the better now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the bites were as soon as it hits the water. I put a mirror lure on and I'm catching the same size fish. So there wasn't no sense messing with that, taking those smaller fish off with three hooks to deal with versus one.
Wow. My phone just came up with a ton of wind advisories on it. Corpus, Matagorda, Galveston, Hackberry.
Yeah. I can imagine, but it's supposed to turn around. Monday looks like it'd be a good fishing day.
Yeah, then it's going to warm up and really go to raining on Tuesday again. Here we go again. Yeah. Warm up and rain.
Well, I'm supposed to fish Tuesday, so hopefully it'll be, it won't move into the afternoon, but it looks like there's several fronts coming next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're catching some eating fish over there now instead of all them releasers, all them big ones you put us on. And, I'm going to have to come over and get me a, get me five eaters. I can't get over how good them trout were from that bay. I just cannot believe the difference in the taste.
I ate some last night.
Wow.
I know what you're talking about.
Well,
I know what you're talking about.
Who's going to be in the Super Bowl, Charlie? I want Kansas City.
You know, I like
I know
Kansas
what
City.
You want, but realistically speaking,
I don't know. They may be able to get by them.
New Orleans and Kansas City.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
I'm tired of watching Tom Brady in there, but
I'm not. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. I love to watch him operate. I'd like to see him and Drew Brees go up against each other.
Well,
that's two good ones right there.
Yes,
Mahomes has got plenty of time to develop. He's pretty good, man. I got to give it to him. That kid's awesome. But
I like the way he slingshots.
Yeah, no look pass and all that.
Yeah,
hot dogging. But
it ought to be two good games.
And it don't matter. But I would like to see Breeze and Brady duke it out.
Yeah.
That's two good ones, man. Legendaries.
New Orleans did not look that good to me last weekend.
No, they were playing possum.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they kind of like New England did all year. And then when it came playoff time, they just throw it in overdrive and go on.
Well, we're going to find out shortly.
All right, brother. Well, Charlie, throw that valuable number out. Somebody wants to come over and catch some eaters and some big ones.
713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Have a good weekend. Thanks
for the report.
All right,
care, buddy.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
All right, Charlie P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.